Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Analytics Neat. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. For those of you that might be new here, Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast. It comes out every Monday. I tend to cover media, marketing, analytics, technology, and data, and I do it in a short format to try to make it something easy for you to digest and then move on with your day. I also love interacting with all of you, so you can reach out to me directly on Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat. You can also give the podcast a follow, at AnalyticsNeat on Twitter as well. So if you have any ideas, topics, questions, concerns, hit me up, and I'd love to chat. And whether you're an avid listener of the podcast or you're new here and you like what you happen to be hearing, then please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you prefer. If I'm not on a platform that you prefer to listen to, let me know and we'll try to figure that one out too. All right, so let's jump into this week's content. We'll start off with some good housekeeping. The first thing I wanted to talk about came from PwC's annual Global CEO Survey. Most likely I'll cover a lot of this in other episodes too. I saw some interesting things in there that are worth talking about, but the first thing that caught my eye was with regards to artificial intelligence. And for those of you who might not be aware of this survey, it's something that obviously, given the name, PwC does annually, and they reach out to CEOs all over the globe. And of the global CEOs, 63% of them think that artificial intelligence, or AI, will have a larger impact than the internet. Which is a pretty big statement, honestly. That's just, you know, mic drop walking out. Al Gore is now furious that you're making fun of his internet and saying that it's going to be second rate to artificial intelligence. But I guess for me, the question comes in is that, you know, the internet's driven quite a bit. And would, without internet, would we have such a focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning? I'm not sure. The other topic that came to mind as I was reading through those statistics was with regards to the racist robots topic that we've brought up and have made a bit of a segment in recent episodes ever since we talked about that in the first place. And for those of you that maybe haven't gone back into the archives, I'd recommend you do, but the short synopsis is that most artificial intelligence and algorithms have a bias in them naturally because of the data bias that is either exhibited or the bias that society has placed on some of the data that the bots are going to pull their information and become intelligent in the first place. So if 63% of global CEOs think that AI is going to have a larger impact than the internet, I also hope that those same 63% of global CEOs get out there and try to fix this problem that we have with artificial intelligence and try to eliminate some of the biases, some of the racism and otherwise that are showing up in these algorithms because of the skewed data sets that we have in the first place. And speaking of AI, Iron Man himself, Robert Downey Jr., did his best Tony Stark impression and launched what they're calling the Footprint Coalition, which is designed to save the world via technology, including some of nanotechnology, which is used in Iron Man's suit in the last couple of Avengers films. So I thought this was interesting. It was fun to see all of the write-ups about it. It was fun to see the memes and the side-by-sides of what Tony Stark looked like at the convention in the Iron Man movies versus what Robert Downey Jr. looked like at this convention from Amazon. But it's nice to see people thinking about how we can apply technology to fix all of the mistakes that people are making as well. But I don't think we should start getting lax just yet on trying to clean up places around the Earth. But hopefully nanotechnology and Iron Man himself will save the day just like he did in the Avengers Endgame. And before you come at me on Twitter claiming that I've given out a spoiler, that movie has been out for quite some time. So go ahead and close that tweet and relax and just listen to the rest of the episode. So switching gears, I mentioned in last week's podcast that I spent this past week in Vegas for PegaWorld. Celebrus is an ISV partner, the first ISV partner of Pega, and we were demoing our live integration in action on an actual website where we were delivering Celebrus data to Pega to make decisions instantly on page, on screen, in the moment for customers, which was extremely powerful. But it was also very cool to see clients of ours on stage speaking about the value that they get from already integrating Celebrus data with Pega's Customer Decision Hub, or commonly referred to as CDH. There was a lot of great content, but one of the most interesting launches that came from the show was Pega's announcement of adding empathy to their decision platform. So the goal of this new tool, which will launch towards the end of this year, will be displayed by default in Pega Systems dashboards. And it puts organizations, quote unquote, in the shoes of customers by providing customer empathy metrics like relevance, suitability, and value to the customer, in addition to traditional financial and retention measures that are already available in the platform. And that's a snapshot directly from the press release. But I was sitting in the presentation, and it was really cool to see this in action, measuring how empathy and messaging and approach, even if it's on a call center and an email, so on and so forth, and how that impacts key business value and metrics. And who knows, perhaps this will result in people generally being nicer to each other because their tech is telling them to be in order for them to make more money. Go figure, right? Maybe in a capitalist economy, seeing the impact that empathy has will make people just be nicer to each other, which would just be a lovely thing to see these days. It was also cool to see a presentation from Dr. Rob Walker at Pega, because he made a special call out to the biases that show up in AI that I've more commonly used the technical term racist robots for. But this time he was showing how robots perceive gender and the common jobs for particular genders. And again, the outputs of this, which were both fascinating and horrifying, is solely due to the content that society has already created, because these bots are going out on the internet and simply generating results from analyzing content that's already there across the internet that apparently is going to be second to these bots in the future. So we definitely have a long way to go. So that brings us to the final topic today. Google made a huge splash this past week when it announced that it was acquiring Looker, an analytics startup. They've raised over $280 million, and Google's putting a $2.6 billion price tag to add this company to the Google Cloud. Obviously, that's still pending regulators and approval, but I doubt that this is going to be blocked, given that the other cloud platforms already have this. And what's really interesting is that that $2.6 billion price tag is about $1 billion above the last valuation of the company. And it's a bold move by Google, who's currently sitting in third place in the cloud platform race. And it also begs the question of whether or not there was a bidding war and whether or not any of that news will come out in the future, because that was a huge number. And perhaps that was Google's way of stopping anybody else from gobbling up Looker before they could get their hands on it. So what is Looker? It's an analytics and visualization platform that claims to have differentiators in several categories, and I went through a bunch of them, and I thought I'd call out a few here just to help you better understand that platform. So the first thing that Looker claims, among a long list of differentiators, is that they have a direct connection to many SQL-based databases such as Teradata, Oracle, Amazon Redshift, BigQuery, and others, and you can basically build connections to each one of those and make them available instead of trying to join them up first. Which brings me to one of the most interesting things that they offer as a differentiator. Most visualization platforms and just analysis or BI platforms in general formulate an extract, transform, and load option. You extract the data, you transform it to what it needs to look like, and then you load it somewhere for visualization, analysis, etc. So Looker takes that and makes it a little bit different. They do the transform last when you run a query, and that's how you can get by with having individual connections to all these different data sets and just run from there. So theirs is ELT, which makes me think of BLT, except this time it's with data instead of bacon. Bacon. Homer Simpson would be proud, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that hears ELT and thinks of a BLT and instantly becomes hungry. I think another common challenge that you see when you're trying to build visualizations is trying to get everybody aligned on the same information, same definitions. And that's what Looker claims to solve for by creating central definition of schemas and metrics for everyone to access. And they also offer the opportunity to generate sandboxes at an individual level, which is also very difficult to do in most organizations with most visualization platforms. So overall, it's an impressive platform that boasts a lot of features and has raised a lot of money. So obviously there are investors that believe in it as well. And hopefully they'll deliver for Google, given how many dollars it cost Google to acquire it in the first place. And per usual, behind any acquisition, there are definitely some people drinking that haterade and saying that this is a desperate attempt for Google to make their cloud relevant. And sure, perhaps, but it's not like there's a shortage of brands looking to do analytics in the cloud and trying to speed up those processes and make it more generally available across the enterprise. And I'm sure that Google was a bit desperate here, hence the price tag, because they can't afford to fall behind any further than they already have. And this had to give them an option for end-to-end analytics in their cloud. And it honestly replaces the terrible Data Studio that they currently boast, which they were given away for free to analytics vendors back when I was on the consulting side. Or at a minimum, it gives them a new premium version to offer for those looking to do real analytics and not just simple bar charts and pie charts and anything else that you were going to do in Data Studio. I think another key point to dig into is that this also offers Google the chance to operate with brands that are looking to maintain a hybrid model when it comes to cloud development, instead of being 100% from a cloud adoption perspective. BigQuery, frankly, is not something many enterprises with security standards enjoy making use of, and it's a bit clunky to get offline data into that system. I saw that all the time, continue to see it today. Instead, this relegates BigQuery to what it's good for, taking data from Google Analytics 360 and making it digestible to integrate with other data sets within Looker, which is an integration that already exists. It'll also be interesting to see how this shapes up and how it is branded, because they already claim to have 350 joint customers, so I'm sure that's where they're going to start. They'll sell those clients everything or try to sell them everything Google, and then they'll expand from there with a variety of offerings. And beyond some of the benefits that I've talked about, one thing that also caught my eye during Google's presentation is that Google referenced building collaborative, industry-specific applications. And sure, that could be harmless and it could just be visualization, so on and so forth. But I'm just going to say this now and heed my warning, folks and fellow needers. Confirm how your data and use cases might be used or shared if you're already using Looker or if you're going to buy into using Looker from a Google Cloud perspective. We've seen this in the past. It's not like I'm being paranoid. Google did this with analytics as well to start doing shared and collaborative environments and industry-specific benchmarks and metrics. So just make sure you're acutely aware of any sharing you might be doing in exchange for a benefit. Nothing is free. And with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Thank you again so much for listening. If you do have some time, please rate, review, and subscribe and tell your friends. It does help the podcast. And we'll be back again next Monday with some new content. Until then, have a great rest of your week.